Juwan Howard just threw a right hand.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Juwan Howard shouldn't have thrown anything.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My coach should not be throwing hands. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the school. It's embarrassing for everybody in Maize and Blue.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Tony Boselli, New York Post columnist Ian O'Connor. Still to come, Texas head coach Lovie Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, this is hour number three of a three-hour program that Mike Del Tufo couldn't make it through.
I just looked at Jay and I was like, what are you doing here?
We look up and, you know, normally you can hear Mike coming and going, that's for sure. And he stealthed out. I mean, maybe the first ever Irish exit by an Italian man in the history of anything. Chris Brockman, good to see you.
No, Mike is a Jewish goodbye guy.
I know that.
Big time. Nah,
he told me he wasn't going to be here.
Big time.
Good to see you, Jay Felly, for
good
hour three.
Too.
Thanks for coming in Rivera style and closing things out. Really appreciate
it.
That. TJ Jefferson, sir, how are you over there?
I was just thinking that Kyler Murray, we were talking about last hour.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of like, you know, you love TikTok and there's this TikTok meme going around. And I think it's perfect for Kyler Murray where the voice goes, am I the drama? I don't think I'm the drama. Okay. I'm not the drama.
Okay, first of all,
the drama.
Interesting. I know you are the social media grand maester over there. I want it known. I don't love TikTok. My 13-year-old son loves TikTok.
Zan loves TikTok.
And Xander wants to run the Rich Eisen Show TikTok account.
Yeah, we told him.
I know
free.
That, but that's also an issue of screen time for a 13-year-old. Do you understand?
Okay.
There's factors into play. That's why I have this best dad ever sign.
Xander and I should create a pipeline. He sees something he thinks fit. Just tell me, then I'll
do
it.
Oh, you don't want a 13-year-old texting you whenever he wants.
That's
okay, sir. Let me save you the trouble.
It's a good point.
Hour number three kicks off on the Rich Eisen Show with the new head coach of the Houston Texans, and it's been a while since we have chatted with him. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Lovie Smith. How are you, Coach?
Life's good, Rich. How about you?
I am better for talking to you. I used to speak to you on Bears Cam all the time back in the day on NFL Total Access. We go way back in terms of those conversations.
Yeah, Rich, we're getting a little older, man. Time is moving on for sure.
I know. I've got a lot of gray in my beard. How about you, Lovie?
Yeah, I've been accused of having just a little bit of gray. No salt and pepper. It's definitely.
My gosh.
I'm kind of showing my age now.
I know. This is something I didn't think I'd start with, but how much maintenance goes into your beard, man? That's got to be a lot. Like, what? Walk me through this process, Coach.
Hey, well, not a big process. You know, you go on vacation sometime, you don't shave a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a period of time where I didn't have to, and my wife loved it. I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep this.
That's it.
And as simple as that.
That's it. Because I get sometimes when I see the commissioner of the NFL, he kind of makes fun of my beard. And I tell him my wife likes it, and that's when he backs off. That's when he's like, okay, I get it.
Same here. That's all you have to say is that.
That is it. That is it. So let's get into it, Coach. So what are you doing, like, right now? What does the head coach of the Houston Texans do the week before a combine, 2 weeks before the new league year begins? Walk me through what your day is other than talking to me.
Well, Rich, right after the press conference, it's about the staff. Getting the staff together. Luckily, we were able to get the staff in place quickly. And now it's just, you know, about the team. You know, personnel. You know, evaluating, of course, our roster, free agency coming up, draft coming up. I've been to a few combines, so excited about getting back into the flow to kind of start the process of adding good players to the roster.
Okay, and is the quarterback that starts for the Houston Texans in 2021 currently on your roster, or 2022 currently on your roster? Lovie Smith.
Yes, the first thing people want to know is how about the quarterback position? And I love what Davis Mills did last year. You know, Rich, when you come in as a rookie like he did last year, and, you know, you start off going against the number one defense, so got a chance to see a lot of him. And then when he moved up and started playing, like his demeanor, you know, he can make all the throws. He's smart. So feel real good about you know, Davis, you know, leading our team. We just have to get better people around him.
So he's got a shot, if not the front runner for being the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans come September?
You know, Rich, as you say it, we've known each other a while. You don't give out starting positions in the spring. But, yeah, I mean, as I said, I love what Davis has done. He's our quarterback going into the season, like all guys. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, some of our best players that played last year, you know, new coaching staff starting in, but, you know, replacing our quarterback. There are a lot of things, positions I'm worried about. Quarterback is not one of them.
Do you reach out to David Shaw at all at any point in time to chat with him?
I haven't because I've been with him for a period of time now, but
right.
I know the background, and I know any quarterback coming from a system and being around David, I know what to expect as far as that's concerned. And I got a chance to see him. I like everything about him. And, of course, I've had a chance to talk to him a couple more times since I was named the head coach here. And he cannot wait to get started. And I know his teammates love him, too.
Lovie Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you have any contact at all with Deshaun Watson, Lovie Smith?
You know, I've had contact with, you know, from just being in the building. I don't really know Deshaun that way, since he wasn't really involved last year. I know about his background and his history as a football player. That part I know. And, of course, I know most people want to know what's going to happen with that. Time takes care of a lot of things, and time will take care of that situation, too, where it's a favorable situation for Deshaun and us.
And do you think I know one of the favorite coaching cliches is you don't have a crystal ball, and you don't have one. But the new league year is a time that is right around the corner. Is that the time frame that you and the Texans are targeting at the very least in terms of resolution?
Absolutely. Coming in as a new head football coach, we want to put the best football team on the field. And, some of the things where the question mark on what's going to happen. And, yeah, I can't wait for all of that to get settled, and we can kind of move on from there.
Lovie Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. So walk me through the process of you being hired by the Texans and when you interviewed with them and when you thought like you really had a shot at the gig here, Lovie.
Well, I think, you know, Rich, that if you're working – for any company, any football team, you start interviewing from the moment you become an employee there. And, I was here for a year. Everybody in the organization got a chance to see how I did things, what I believe. Plus, I have a history to fill in a few blanks also. So as far, you know, once the football position was open here, they start interviewing people. I was talking to, of course, the organization all along. My opinion, you know, as a coordinator, associate coach, on how I think things should be done a little bit. I mean, I was asked that throughout the season and the process. And so you have to, you know, kind of talk to them on exactly when they start seeing me this way. But I talked to them early in the process and, of course, talked to them later in the process. They went through what you go through trying to hire a head football coach. And after going through all that, they said I was the guy.
And so, you know, much was made when your predecessor, David Culley, mentioned in an interview that Nick Caserio, the general manager, gets into the headset, the ear of the head coach during a game. And that sounds, you know, unique, to say the least. But then we heard that was something that Caserio did with Belichick and for the New England Patriots, because he does have a terrific sense of being part of practice. He does things that other general managers never really have on their sheet. Is he going to do that with you as well? Is that your expectation, that you're going to hear him in your headset to help you with down and distance and timeouts and things of that nature during the fall?
You know, Rich, people do it, a lot of different ways. You know, I've been a head football coach for a long period of time. I haven't had the general manager involved on game day and don't plan on it, but so, again, things were done differently at different places. We have a system that we're pretty comfortable with here. And, Nick and I have talked about that. Nick's going to be available to help in any way that we think he should, and we feel pretty good about that plan.
And one of the finalists for the position that you eventually got is Brian Flores, and you know, I'm sure, him as well as the lawsuit that has been filed against the league. You, after making a Super Bowl, after being fired, by the way, after a 10-6 season, after winning 81 games for 9 years, with the Chicago Bears, one of the, you know, more demanding jobs in the NFL. This, you know, after getting a shot in Tampa, this was your shot. This is now your third shot after you having some time in the Big Ten. What is your sense on what is the holdup for many candidates of color to get a shot at an HC headset in the NFL? What has your experience been, and what do you think has been some of the holdup here in the NFL?
Well, my experience, Rich, tells me that, you know, as you mentioned, I led my team to a 10-win season or a 16-game season, and the organization decided to go a different direction. I don't know why, and I don't know enough about Brian's situation, but sometimes things happen that don't seem fair, but you stay in the game, and that's what I did as much as anything. I stayed in the game throughout. Even staying in the game, being a defensive coordinator this past year. And eventually, if you belong in that role, it's feel like you'll get an opportunity to do that. As far as making it better, I think one of the things you look at, there was a time, Rich, when I was the only black guy on my staff, on quite a few staffs. Times have changed an awful lot. I think that's one place that we can look. It's just not, you know, the head coaching position, looking at staff, seeing how many people look like me on the staff. You have to be intentional about that. I know as you look at our staff, we're giving, you're going to hear us talking a lot, but you can also look at what we're doing. I'm talking about a Houston Texan organization. And I just know the numbers need to come up, and hopefully that'll happen in the future.
And one last thing for you, Coach, or a couple more minutes left with Lovie Smith, head coach of the Houston Texans here on the Rich Eisen Show. You've got a quarterback that you'd mentioned had a good first year, and honestly, out of all the rookie quarterbacks, you can make the case only Mac Jones had a more successful year on the field than Davis Mills. And this is now a situation where you can go in your second year with that kid, if that's the way it goes. You made mention that the Bengals have shown a blueprint to go from top five pick in the draft to the Super Bowl with a second-year quarterback. I know Joe Burrow has a different situation than Davis Mills, but you're saying why not us based on what you just saw from the Bengals, Coach?
Well, I kind of deal on, you know, I make reference to what has happened, a blueprint. You know, a lot of times if you believe something, you've never seen it. I mean, why should you believe that can happen? The Bengals won 4 games the year before with a young quarterback. And this year they were, you know, maybe one play away from being Super Bowl champs. So that can happen. We're all dreaming about what can happen and having faith on that it can happen. And so why not us? I know that, yeah, it's a lot of coaching, coach speak that I'm giving you a little bit here. But we feel good about, you know, last year we won 4 games. We had an opportunity easily to win 3 others, and we're going to be a better football team this year. So hopefully we can get things done.
Yeah, and I noticed in your press conference you didn't come out and just single one of the teams in your division saying we're going to beat that team. You didn't come out and say, you didn't pull like what you did with the Bears. You didn't come out and say we're going to beat the Titans, the Colts.
You have a pretty good memory, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
You made quite the stir when you took the reins and you took that podium in Chicago for the first time to say you're going to beat the Packers. I think you had everyone at hello right there, Coach. I remember that one.
You know, Rich, we did that for a while, and then they, you know, a guy named, what's his name? Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Showed up there, you know. But we have some teams we have to beat here, too. And, of course, the Titans were, you know, when you're division champ, I mean, you're shooting for them. We split with them last year. And there's, you know, of course, the Colts, the Jaguars. It's a tough division to be in, and just hopefully we can compete and have a chance to. It's all about getting into that tournament, and hopefully we'll have a chance to do that.
All right, last one for you, Coach. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class came out, and I know a lot of Canes, you know, like Michael Irvin and Sapp, and that were very upset that the Canes got shut out with Andre Johnson, who, as we know, is one of the all-time greats, certainly for the organization you're now coaching for. But the one Cane that did not get in that really sticks in their craw the most is Devin Hester not getting in. You were his coach. Walk me through when you realized he was as good as he was at the role that he played for your Bears, Coach Smith.
First off, Rich, you mentioned Andre Johnson, and what a special guy. He's Hall of Fame worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know Andre as well. Devin Hester, I can remember leaving an owners meeting and going down, and I heard about this guy, Devin Hester, down at the University of Miami. We went down. My son and I went down, and we worked him out. I worked him out as a cornerback. Guy was special, man. And when he got on campus, you know, think about a guy from Florida and never played in the cold, and he had as good a hands as you could possibly get. Didn't drop any balls, but from the moment he touched the ball, you knew he was going to do something special. And I got a chance. I don't know how many. I didn't miss many of his touchdowns. And, you know, coaches talk about offense, defense, and special teams, but you can win games with special teams. And how, Rich, the greatest returner of all time, how does the greatest returner of all time not get in the Hall of Fame first ballot? I'm having a hard time putting that all together.
Especially when, you know, you've got one of the most special moments in the history of the Super Bowl on your resume, like he did. I will never forget watching him return that opening kickoff for a score when we all expected he would do it. And the fact that he got a chance and then did it is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in person. Were you surprised that Tony decided to kick to him to start the game?
No, but not really, Rich, because it's football. I mean, you have a lot of alpha males. You can't say, hey, he's better than us. We're not. You can't bow down to any player. But, Rich, that year, you're right. The Super Bowl was special on that return that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Arizona game on Monday night, I think that may be my favorite one of the, you know, the last score, of course, you know, for us to beat them that night. But there are so many special moments from it. And the way the game is going now, I just don't think that there'll ever be another like him.
Is that the night that the Bears were who Denny Green thought he was, that you were? Was that that night you're talking about, Lovie?
Yeah, I figured I was leading you right into that. Yeah.
Did you ever have a chat with
Denny? I remember that night, too. Yeah, I remember
sure.
that night, too.
Did you ever have a chat with Denny Green about that rant after it was all said and done, Lovie?
You know, in fun a little bit. You know, Denny. You know, I'm a part of. You could say Denny's tree also.
Yeah.
And I can see why you would be frustrated though with what happened.
Of course, but did you ever say to him like, "Who were we in your mind, Denny? Tell me who we were, Denny." Did you ever say that?
About it, yeah, Rich. The thing about it, we went to the Super Bowl that year, so I, you know, that's who I thought we were too. You know, football team. So.
You let him off the hook. I mean, my gosh. Thanks for the call, Coach. Appreciate it. Congrats on the gig in Houston. We'll do this again soon. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. That's Lovie Smith, everybody. Denny, yeah. Hey, it's Lovie. Tell me, who do you think we were? Because, you know, kind of thought we were good.
Oh.
And
who takes the third game of the preseason like it's
yeah. Oh my gosh. That's right. I mean, Lovie's been there and done that, man.
Yeah.
And the Texans are hoping to tap into that. Fun stuff. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have yet to hit on the day two of what do we call it? Mushgate? What do we call it?
Mushgate.
Throwing the hand? Throwing the hand gate?
Yes, Mushgate.
I like mush. That's what J.J. Redick was called.
They called it a mush, right?
It was a mush. Like I said yesterday, it wasn't a punch.
It's an open hand, though.
It was a little open hand mush.
A little open hand.
Not little, because it's a big man.
We haven't hit on the fact that I suggested a suspension for my coach, and that's exactly what he received.
Did you have any say? Did they call
I absolutely
you
did not. No, I did not get a call from from the Big Ten commissioner.
Daniel gave you a ring.
But basically what I said, what I just said is I'm teasing that we're going to talk about Juwan Howard in Michigan by folding in the fact that I was right. Which is my right here on this program as a host of something like this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Chris Brockman is not very proud of me right now. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. In other words, Callaway is putting its tungsten speed cartridge where its mouth is, because every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. So basically, this Rogue ST driver I'm telling you about has been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. By the way, that's what the ST stands for, speed-tuned. Yes, indeed. Most golfers are going to fit into the Max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness, but there's also the Max D, which is dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. There's the Max LS if you need something more low spin, stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. The ST Triple Diamond LS from Rogue is the compact low spin head that the tour players love for the true players out there. So Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed. All you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. Back with your calls, 844-204-RICH, and more in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I didn't find it.
Yesterday sucked. Yesterday sucked. Oh, okay. As a Michigan Wolverine, yesterday sucked. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. When Juwan Howard threw a hand in the direction of the Wisconsin staff, or in the direction of the assistant coach, and connected and took something that was a pushing and shoving fest and changed it into something that wound up getting a couple of Michigan players suspended and himself suspended. It's just not at all acceptable. And I'm hoping that Juwan Howard's statement that I wish he would have delivered first blush that came out yesterday, hopefully this is what we can hang our hat on, because it strikes every possible note. And I think it speaks to who he really is. After taking time to reflect on all that happened, I realized how unacceptable both my actions and words were and how they affected so many. I am truly sorry. I'm offering my sincerest apology to my players and their families, my staff, my family, and the Michigan fans around the world. I would like to personally apologize to Wisconsin's assistant coach, Joel Krabenhoft, and his family, too. Lastly, I speak a lot about being a Michigan man and representing the University of Michigan with class and pride. I did not do that, nor did I set the right example in the right way for my student athletes. I will learn from my mistakes, and this mistake will never happen again. No excuses with an exclamation point. Maybe he texted it. An exclamation point. Oh, I'm trying to let my smile be a little bit of an umbrella here because it stunk. It's just exactly what a coach should not do. And it is exactly what somebody who is a Michigan man and what he talks about being a Michigan man. I know everybody makes fun of us as Michigan fans when we refer to somebody being a Michigan man, which is what refers to Bo Schembechler talking about one of Juwan Howard's predecessors, Bill Frieder, when Frieder announces at the end of a Big Ten regular season that he's leaving to go to Arizona State, but he'll stick around and coach the team in the NCAA tournament. And Bo was the athletic director at the time, said, nah, you can go now, Bill. I want a Michigan man coaching a Michigan team. And they made us go, yes, even though the guy who replaced him didn't actually go to Michigan, was his assistant, Steve Fisher. But he did win six more games in a row and did one of the most incredible things in the history of sports, which is shut Mike Del Tufo up.
Hard to do.
Beating Seton Hall. And so that's what it's referred to, Michigan man. I want a Michigan man coaching a Michigan team. And that gave birth to what we ascribe to being a Michigan man. And it's all things that are high class and sportsmanship and things of that nature. And it's a very tough ideal to live up to. And that's why people make fun of it when certainly they don't live up to it. And it stunk being a Michigan fan yesterday. The combine, as you know, is no longer bubbled up. That news I learned from Tom Pelissero, but not from my colleague Tom Pelissero's tweet, from my colleague Daniel Jeremiah's retweet of it. Thank goodness, DJ wrote, I was getting a little nervous. It would be just Rich Eisen and me talking current events. So, Rich, I haven't watched much college basketball this year. How's your Michigan squad doing?
Oh, my God.
And so I'm like, you know what? That is just an absolute poop sandwich being served up by one of my favorite people. Out of the blue, I'm just sitting around doing nothing, trying to be best dad ever, and he's sending that in my direction. And I just got all pissed off and fired back, thanks, in quotes, we're okay, thanks, better than Appalachian State's basketball program, thanks for asking. So, of course, and then I got a whole bunch of other, responses from App State fans pointing out they actually have a better record than Michigan.
I was just looking that up.
17-12.
Yeah.
And they're, overall, and they might make the tournament, which Michigan doesn't look like they're making, and it stinks. The whole thing just stinks. And actions have consequences. And your actions have consequences, not just for yourself, but around everybody else. And that's what being a leader and best is. And that's why I'm glad to see Juwan Howard with that statement apologizing to everybody. I wish that it happened in first blush on Sunday. He is now suspended for the rest of the regular season, which is what I, yesterday when you said to me, what do you think should happen?
Yeah.
I said, that's how about suspended for the rest of the regular season?
Yep.
It's five games, four of them are at home, and then their last game's at Ohio State. They've got an old hand to step in. Yes, longtime St. Joe's head coach, Phil Martelli, was one of the first hires Juwan Howard made when he got the job, and I thought that was terrific at the time. And now he's going to step in, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can rally around Phil and make the tournament or get a better seed in the Big Ten championship. And I hope we face Wisconsin again. I hope we face them again. And I know this thing will be played back more than often than not because of it. It'll be played back when Juwan Howard takes the bench again for the first time. You know, I get it.
I would say it's going to be played for a long time.
So better get it out of the way right away and hold Juwan to his standard of it's never going to happen again, no excuses. Because I imagine the third time will be a more difficult repercussion than a 5-game suspension.
That would probably be it.
I think he earned and deserved, and it kills me to say it, but I shoot you straight here on this program. Yesterday sucked. Daniel Jeremiah sending me that text. So I sent him back to him. I sent back one last tweet, like if this is his way of getting rid of our traditional handshake line at the combine, mission accomplished. Daniel, I'll remember that.
Unmush him. As soon as you see him on site, Rich.
Daniel Jeremiah is unmushable, guys. We know that.
No, man, because he's coming for you. I could tell you that. So the second you see him, just whop.
DJ as in D's nuts. Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey? How are you, Jeff?
I need a hug, Unc. I really do, man. Gray cloud over the city of Ann Arbor here in Michigan. And you know I'm as Michigan as they come. And I thought I knew I had to call in because if it had been any place else, I would have been on the phone railing about how this coach needs this. I'm happy that they saved that man's job by suspending him, by not firing him. Because how can you go in a recruit's house trying to get a recruit from Ohio or someplace else and tell them that Michigan is the best place, and somebody brings up the incident that took place? It's just a real embarrassment. And I'm happy that he's contrite about it. I'm happy that, you know, he's starting to figure out and get what everybody else is saying, because, I mean, he's been the topic of conversation. And unlike, you know, you can go out and look at any other color that you wear, like Michigan compared to like Ohio, Nebraska, you know, all of those red colors. When you wear Michigan, everybody knows it, and you have a target on your back. You really and truly do. So,
thank you for the call, Jeffrey. I appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, yesterday stunk. Jason in Arizona. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Rich. Michigan guy as well. Yeah, doesn't look good for anybody. Obviously, Juwan handled it poorly, and I will admit that. I think the suspension was warranted. But I do want to speak upon what the Wisconsin coaches did and the fact that this is also a bad example to set for people, to think that you can walk up to somebody when they're obviously upset to you, grab them by the arm, make them stand there and listen to you berate them and give them your explanation of whatever it was that made them mad, and expect them to have another assistant coach come up and start yapping in your face.
You know what?
Supposed to accept it all.
No, I found
it. Let's bring the elephant into the room. This is white and black.
No. Hold on a second. No.
Go ahead.
I don't want to go there. I did see that Wisconsin's coach got what? Did he get fined? Right? Wisconsin says they're paying it.
$10,000.
I'd love to know what they fined him for. Like what? For putting hands on Juwan Howard? I mean, you know, I don't know what they exactly found him culpable doing. Wisconsin said they're
1992, man. We got videos now. We have people holding their knee on people's necks, man. I mean, come on. It's not acceptable. You can't do that anywhere else but a gym. And you think that that's supposed to be the example that people are supposed to set? A coach? Talk about your coach as great. Yeah, Juwan was wrong, but talk about them. You don't do that.
I appreciate the call, sir.
You can't
sir.
Do that outside of the gym. You can't do it inside of the gym.
No, and I appreciate your opinion. I don't agree with it. Juwan Howard, if he had just walked away, right? And I know that the other coach stopped him and put hands on him. If he had just remained walking through best he could, but he was hot under the collar, and he did get touched. You can't throw a hand. You can't throw a hand. You can't throw a hand. Is this who I think it is on our guest line?
Yes, it is.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Do you need a one-way ticket back to Hawaii?
Why?
I'm curious.
Why?
Sound a little stressed. Sound a little hot under the collar.
I don't know.
Brockman, don't walk too close to him. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
What happened?
Keep my
What's
distance.
Going on?
No, I'm just listening to you. Listening to you with the Daniel Jeremiah thing. It just sounds like a little stressed. Like you just seem a little Costanza.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you have to go. If you got to go back to Hawaii, listen to the birds, Rich. Just close your eyes. Visualize
right.
the birds.
Right. So is this your way
Smell
of
the air.
Is this your way of saying I should leave so you could host the show again? Is that what that is?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Totally.
All right.
He needs Marty Walsh on the comm app. That's what he needs.
Oh, that's Susie Eisenhelton.
Thank you very much.
So, Brockman, did you see that Tom Brady responded back?
Yeah, he said it was great or something, right?
Where are my flowers, Sulk? I deserve, I mean, I, not only do I deserve like flowers, accolades, perhaps credit, and then maybe the script that Alec owes me, but that's neither here nor there.
Whoa.
Okay. Very good.
Offline.
All right. Now,
last thing, I just wanted to know,
yes.
Are you going to have a new poll question? Because you texted me asking me to take Rich shopping, saying that he was wearing the same sweaters he's been wearing for
what?
The last 5 years.
What?
Wow. I thought that was a personal conversation.
Wow.
That we were having.
Did
no,
she
I just...
just
thought it'd be a really good poll question.
Of what? Does Rich need a wardrobe update?
Oh, my God. Is that really what's happening here? Is that what really is happening?
I thought that was a thing that you and I were doing together. Not with him knowing.
I thought yesterday sucked.
Okay.
There's a river, and I just sold you down it.
Okay, Suze.
Just letting you know.
Boy,
have
you
a
just...
great day, guys.
Hey, let's just throw a
Wow, so
Molotov
Suze just...
Disgusting.
All right, I'll see you soon.
The cocktail is gross.
Yeah, I agree, Suze.
You've never had one.
So gross.
But I can look at raw shrimp and say
it's not raw.
It's not raw.
Even I know that.
I know. I'm just
the
joking.
Texture of it is so nasty.
Yeah, it's a texture
it's
issue.
Unattractive. It's the most unattractive looking dish known to man.
So you don't eat shrimp at all?
Unless you're my brother. It's just the whole thing is repulsive. It's my brother's favorite food.
Well, okay.
Well, it's like Charles Barkley said.
We stepped into a
and
sibling
that's why
rivalry.
I don't eat shrimp.
All right, hon. I'll see you soon. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Hey, bye, bye, guys.
There you
see
go.
You soon.
Sue's just popping in.
Bye.
Best mom ever.
Chris.
This started with Smitch.
If
people
really?
Are getting thrown under the bus, then I'm going to go to Smitch.
I
first.
Know. Like, hey guys, I'm running out of the house. I got things going on. I see a sweater. I don't care if I wore it 3 days ago. I'm putting it back on.
Well, 3 days ago, but 5 years ago. Like, we show old clips, and it's just the same sweater. And I'm, you know, I just...
Did I wear this clip? This sweater is in a clip that we showed from the from earlier today?
I don't know. But I just... I want... Before next football season, I said, let's just, like, maybe do some shopping and upgrade.
Maybe I should start my own clothing line and not let you buy it.
Like maybe, Tom Brady?
Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I start my own clothing line.
I think that would be great.
Why wouldn't I? And I'll wear it here on the set,
I
and you'll be like,
awesome.
That looks great. Can I get one in my size? And I'll say, no, too bad.
Right. And then I'll ask you for a discount like TJ.
Why not? closed mouths don't get fed, so okay. Of course.
Well, you're talking to Mr. Squeaky Wheels. So
that's
yeah.
true. But by the way, I've said that there should
the
be
a
Rich Eisen sweater collection for like the last 2 years now. I've been telling you that you need to get on.
I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to finally do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into it. I have plans to explore Ooh. It.
So does the guy who like really spearheaded this, does he get cut into the deal?
Sure,
or?
If you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's talking about you, TJ.
He has to be because it was my idea.
I have plans to look into it. I have plans to look into it.
As you should.
Rich Eisen expects... to look into it.
Nice. You should get a sweater deal. Me and Brockman, specifically me, we should get some type of deal with Jumpman or Jordan because that just makes sense. And Del Tufo, I don't know, a boat company, I guess.
So Smitch at home is texting you that I'm wearing the same thing. And then you text my wife.
My wife.
You text Susie because you know she's the one with purchasing power and sway over what I wear? Like, is that the way it works? Is this the flow chart that just got exposed by my wife, aunt, my wife?
My wife.
That's
Call
your
man right there, Rich.
Is this what just happened? Is this what's talked about when I'm not in the chair?
That's your man right there.
Though. I mean, we're talking about it while you're in the
not
chair.
Clearly.
So is that what happens? Did I miss something? Did he wear this? I kind of got confused.
I definitely wore this sweater last week. I know I did. I know I wore this last week.
One of the days last week,
I wore this sweater last week.
Okay,
with a different shirt underneath.
It's different.
Okay. And it's a similar look to the one that I had yesterday.
This started
because I liked the way it looked yesterday, which is a white button-down shirt underneath a high-collared sweater. I grabbed this one today walking out the door, and I can't believe I'm being made to describe my process of choosing what I wear on the show. And by the way, everybody else who does the shows like this,
they have a wardrobe style.
No, they don't. They don't. They just wear whatever they dress. Like what
you could literally
McAfee
wear.
McAfee wears a black tank top, not even a t-shirt.
Tank top.
Pat, do you get this crap?
Rich, he's not a Big J journalist. Come on, you know. This started with Smitch literally telling me that you should take off that sweater, or if you take it off, I should grab it and give it to
Goodwill. Oh, he doesn't even like this. Oh God!
Man.
So then I said,
Sean.
I said I'll ask. I was like,
this is no good.
So I said I'll text Susie about a wardrobe overhaul.
Okay.
And then I texted her, and then she said.
Now she calls it.
That's amazing, will do, because I said, there's some old clips that come up and he's wearing the same sweater. And then I just called her a jerk and she said, hysterical, that was too easy.
That was too easy.
And then Smitch sent me the crying emoji of himself.
Oh, great.
So
that's great.
We're all having a great time.
Right.
That's great. That's great. The rest of us are not.
All right. I hope you all enjoy this sweater because I'm wearing it tomorrow.
As you should.
You should wear it every day the rest of the week.
I'm going to sleep in it. I'm going to Instagram it. I'm going to Instagram out a whole story about how much I love you guys and appreciate you guys.
Yes.
And I'm going to send it all out, and it's going to be pictures of me in this sweater and nothing of you. It's just going to be eight different pictures of me in this sweater talking about my love for you.
I think that's a great idea.
And my wife. It'll be
my
a picture.
Wife. Yeah,
I'll
wife.
Be a picture of me and Susie that she clearly has to approve before I send it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which I don't believe Aaron did with Shailene.
Yeah, I've had to delete.
I don't know if he had to clear that.
Last week, she made TJ delete a photo because he just posted. I thought it was a great pic.
It was a good pic.
Of her and Kara.
But that was my fault because I knew that the rule. But I didn't think I was trying to do it quick. Yeah. And she was like, and I deleted
it. Correct.
But I thought it was a good picture.
Oh, man, that is too funny.
So here's the difference between Susie and I.
Mm-hmm.
You could take whatever picture of me that you want in this sweater. You don't have to delete it.
All right.
Because I love this sweater. I love it now more than ever.
I don't really see anything wrong with this sweater. I don't know where this came from.
This entire segment of the Rich Eisen Show ends as the way it begins. This sucks. It sucks. All right. Take a break. We're back to wrap up this Tuesday show. I love this sweater more than ever. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, talking about most influential NBA players of the last 30 years and There's a website. Which website?
It was Clutch Points.
Okay. And on that Mount Rushmore is
Jordan,
Kobe,
LeBron,
and Steph. And you think Allen Iverson should be on there? Because
I think so.
Okay, and you said that he affected your fandom and your fashion sense and things like that, right?
Not just me, but
for so many others. That's what you're saying. It, yeah. And so you're now asking me about my opinion, influential aspects of it, and you're asking the man whose sweaters have just been criticized.
Yeah, but
so,
I'm also asking
like, how have I been influenced? Like, is Brunello Cucinelli on that list? Because the sweater I'm wearing.
I'm also asking.
And I've been criticized for wearing being fashion forward.
Am I
making this about me now? And it should be about the NBA. Is that what you're saying?
I think this did take a turn.
Totally.
Yeah,
they're totally making it about you. Which
you could
is
just
fine.
Been like, I have no opinion.
No, let me ask. Here's the thing about that is I like seeing Steph on there.
Yeah. Because Steph definitely changed.
I'd like to see, and that kind of brings me to something I didn't talk about yesterday, that Cleveland Cavalier fans booed this man at the NBA All-Star game, right? Was his wife on stage with him as well at one point in time, and he's getting booed?
Yeah, Saturday night, too, they were doing this booed, weird
like,
promo.
Hey, Cavs fans, because this guy,
3-1. Why would the Cavs be mad at Steph? All they have to go is say is 3-1.
I don't know what is going on. Like, who boos Steph Curry? Like, the guy is, if you had to name the one unbooable player in sports, he would be number one. Well, Mahomes would be right behind him?
I don't think so anymore, bro.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think
who would be, like, if,
Chris and I have talked about this before. I think what it is sometimes, and just in a funny way, Steph is frustrating because we've all shot basketballs before, right? To see what that man is able to do with a basketball, it's just like, how? Like,
I know,
what is
I know
going
that.
On?
But what he does and how he does it and how he comports himself and how he has fun and how kids relate to him. Kids relate to him. He is not only inspiring for children, but children relate to him. They think he's approachable because he is, and he's friendly, and he's got a friendly face. And
he's not towering.
How do you boo him? When he shot... He shot 475 feet of three-pointers in a game combined. You added up the number
from
of...
From the All-Star game?
Yes.
475
Someone
feet.
Added up how far away he was shooting from.
That's a next-gen
stat. In a
stat.
Game in which he's there to entertain you.
Oh, he did it. I was entertained.
Cleveland, he's there to entertain you. After being booed, he reigns in 475 combined feet of threes, including one he launches after it gets passed around like it's the Harlem Globetrotters, and he knows it's a chance for him to make a shot. He shoots, turns around, and like, did it go in?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He asks this little kid, he's like, did it go in?
Oh, my God. Like, they'll never forget that moment.
That yeah.
Who boos Steph Curry?
Trailblazers fans.
Honestly. And I get it in the heat of battle, and he shoots threes, and you foul him. You know,
there was
one time. You would talk about frustrating. I think it happened this year where he kind of faked a shot with a second to go and a half from the logo, and he got fouled, and they called a three shot foul because we're all assuming Steph Curry is in fact going to hoist it from half court.
Yeah, when the ball's checked in, you have to.
He's unbelievable. Steph. I can't believe he got booed.
Exactly. Like I said, Cavs fans, you won. You beat them 3-1 in the finals.
Honestly, don't get it.
What are you mad about?
I don't get it at all. So I'm glad to see him on the most influential list. Thanks for taking the show. I will see you tomorrow wearing this sweater.